If you guys would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll just be going down to, we'll be going through verses 9 and 13. Last week we just briefly went over it, but today the Lord's going to have us really dig into it and weigh this thing out. And it's never an easy thing to definitely start teaching about the subject of humility and what that really means, and it's definitely not an easy thing to receive that as well when we really start looking at it and the Lord starts doing surgery on our hearts. And I pray that the worship was so sweet that we would receive what the Lord would have for us today, and that today really would be radically different than yesterday or even 10 minutes ago. Verse 9. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To this present hour we hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. We labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. Hey, Carl, could you open that door? Because I don't know if Margaret's going to be able to hear. Thank you. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it's the final chapter. Paul will be dealing with divisions in the church. And think about this just for a moment. If you know what's contained in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, wouldn't you think that's what you would deal with first? Okay? But no, he doesn't do that. He deals with divisions. And remember, these guys were focusing on men. They weren't focusing on the work of Christ. They were focusing on men. The first study was in how the church should view leadership and how leadership should view themselves. Remember, Paul said, I'm a servant. I'm an under-oarsman. I'm just rowing the boat. I'm trusting the captain. I'm just going by faith. He not only said that, he said, I'm a steward, okay? I might be the head slave, but understand this, I'm still the slave, and the Lord is trusting me to deliver these goods. And he said, you know what my goods are? It's the truth of God, okay? He said, that's the view you need to have of me. Was Paul not good on delivering the goods? And not only that, what did he say? There's only one thing that a steward has to be found, and that's faithful. Not talented, not charismatic. I hate the word charismatic when someone says, well, that pastor's so charismatic. What does that mean? I mean, seriously. Yeah, that might be true, but what is that? So-and-so's so charismatic, and, you know, I'm just like what? I'm just like milk toast. I mean, no! You know, if God's called someone to do this thing or whatever God's called us to do, just to be Spirit-filled and be obedient to what He's called us to do. Just to be faithful. The second thing we learned in that first study, Paul said, it's a very small thing that I'm judged by you or a human court. And get this straight up, I don't even judge myself. Remember, Paul was not a man-pleaser, he was a God-pleaser. And see, he had the end game was so focused. He's like, you know what? One day I'm going to stand before the Lord at the Bema seat, and I want to hear what He has to say. Okay, that's the second thing we learned. The third thing, or the last week's study was how Paul expands on the Corinthians' view of the Lord's servants, and he had a few questions for the proud. He said, now these things, and what things? Well, the things we just discussed. And he said, I figuratively transferred myself and Apollos for your sake. And I love this. I love this. He says, guys, I've used myself and Apollos as examples who are laboring in the same field, members of the same holy temple, the same building. We are both yours. Don't divide yourselves over us or get the big head. And the thing that the Lord laid upon my heart, could the same thing be said about this ministry? Or your ministry and what God's called you to do. I'm working together within the body of Christ. It's not my thing. It's not about my stat sheet. I'm not in competition with so-and-so down the road or so-and-so sitting next to me. We're laboring together for the expansion of God's kingdom. And then he goes on to say that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. what Paul is saying. Think biblically. And what does the Bible say on the matter? Guys, don't use the standards beyond the Bible to judge Paul or anyone else in leadership or anyone else that the Lord is using for the furtherance of His kingdom. How does the world view things? How does the world view things? Would you? Okay, let me ask you a question. Flag football person. Okay? Okay, did you guys choose up teams? What did you guys do? Or did you already have your crew and you was going to go against this other crew? You split it up. Okay, did you pick? Did you say, okay, pick a number through 1 and 10? Okay, and then so-and-so stand over there with his fingers behind his back. Okay? And then, okay, yeah, you got close. You always pick 5, by the way. You always pick 5 if it's 1 through 10. Why? It's in the middle. Okay? Is that what you did? And then you chose up? Okay, more proposition. Okay, let me ask you a question. You can be honest. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Would you really pick me as your quarterback? No, you wouldn't. Why not? Okay, you liked Rudy, didn't you? But you didn't really buy into it, did you? Okay, you get my point. 5'5", buck 50, 42 years old, killed E-legs. No, that's not my quarterback. Maybe one play at this point in the game. Here's the thing, man. Isn't that how we judge the people the Lord uses? No. Paul said, hey, you know, don't think beyond what is written. Think biblically when you view these things. And isn't that an important lesson we learned last week for us just today, not to think beyond what is written, not only regards how we view church and leadership, but life as well. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I pray, guys, that you would make that investment with your life. You don't get anything else, man. You spend the time in God's word. You would have a biblical view of things, not a worldview. Worldview is always going to trip you up. It's always going to be a bummer, I assure you. And lastly, in a broader sense of things, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one another, using unbiblical standards and judging leadership, just puffs up people. It puts this guy up here, this guy down here, this guy up here, and this guy down here. See, the problem wasn't the cliques. It was the purpose behind the cliques, which was their pride. Now he had three questions for the proud. And I'm going to read this one more time. For who makes you differ from another, and what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you've not received it? Number one question, for who makes you differ from another? Hey, guys, if there's a difference in us, it's only because God made us different. Okay? That's the only difference. You look around this room and you look how uniquely God has made each individual. And not only that, you can take that step further. Everybody in this room has been given unique gifts for the furtherance of God's kingdom. Paul says, if you're blown away by what God's doing in me, understand this. It's just the way God made me. Okay? Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows them very well. Remember, we're the body of Christ, made up of very unique and wonderful parts for the expansion of God's kingdom. Second question for the proud, what do you have that you did not receive? Okay? Received. No, received. No one is, I did it my way, or I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. No one is a self-made person. Now look at me. He says, understand, everything that we have, everything that we will ever have, comes from the Lord. So there's no room for pride whatsoever. No room for pride. And then finally, the third question was, why are you glorying if you did not receive it? If what we have spiritually comes from the Lord, why are we acting like it's on our own accomplishment? Pride's destroying this Corinthian fellowship, and that's what pride always does. It destroys. You know what got those guys kicked out of the garden? Who was the one prompting? Who came up with the question and asked Eve the question? Why did he get kicked out? You read in Isaiah, he was the head worship leader. And he said, hey, you know what? I want to be exalted. Proverbs 16:18 said, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Oswald Chambers said this, the passion of Christianity is that I deliberately sign away on my own rights and become a bond slave of Jesus Christ. until I do that, I do not begin to be a saint. And really what we're going to look at today in these verses, and this is a difficult thing. Okay? Yeah, I'm not going to water this thing down. I just pray that we're in a position to receive it, myself included. This is what it looks like to be a saint. This is what it looks like when we pick up our cross and we deny ourselves and we choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's a humble man. Paul is a bond slave man. Paul is Jesus' man, to be used any way Jesus sees fit for His glory. I love Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. And Jesus said this, when He called people to Himself with His disciples also, He said to them, whoever desires to come after Me, okay, you desire to come after Jesus, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life, he'll lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake and the Gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him and the Son of Man also will be ashamed when He comes in the glory with His Father and with His angels. It's a reality. That's a real day. Okay? It's a real day. So this morning, if you just kind of want to sum it up, it's a real cross is a real price. Paul's cross, a picture of his ministry, a picture of being a bond slave, a picture of humility. Look at verse 9. Now remember, verse 8, we left them all. You're already full. You're already rich. You've reigned as kings without us, and indeed, I wish you did reign, and we also might reign with you. In other words, let's just sum that one thing up before we lead into this. You guys are so awesome. As a matter of fact, you're so awesome. Your awesomeness, okay, he's being sarcastic a little bit. He's like, because you're so awesome, then, man, if you, we wish you were awesome, then we could be awesome too. And he says about himself and the other apostles, for I think that God has displayed us, the apostles last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, and both to angels and men. Okay, there's an image here that he's painting. It's either from Rome or the Colosseum, or a parade of a Roman conquering general. His armies go first, okay, as he's going in this parade. The armies are marching in first. And then after it is all the goods, okay, all the booty. And then at the last, it's the slaves, it's the captives that would die in the arena. And before going into arena, they would shout what? Didn't think I could do that. Yeah, you might pick me for your quarterback now, huh? This is what they would shout. We who die salute you. We who die who salute you. Paul is now, in a way, saluting the Corinthian Christians. Remember what Jesus said about life. One word to take home, okay? To get a better idea of what Paul is saying, the word spectacle is where we get our word. It's theatron, where we get our word theater. I've been called to die for all the world to see. Okay, are you getting this image of what he's saying? He said, I'm just in this train. I'm captive. I'm going to my death. And for we're about to die, we're going to salute you. Okay, we've just been... You heard the world's a theater, right? Let me ask you a question. What part are you playing? What part are you playing? That's what the Lord's asking me. What part are you playing? What part are you playing here in Longview, Texas? What part are you playing this moment, this time, this time frame within the fabric of this country? Okay, you could have been born in 1950. You could have. But the Lord saw fit that you'd be born in a time when you would be here and you would be young and you'd be going at it for the Lord. Okay? What part are you playing? What part are you playing out at Laterno? What part are you playing out at Joy Global? What part are you playing working? I'm sorry, your company's changed so many times. Okay, is it Altel? Verizon. Okay, Altel stinks, by the way. Oh, that's all. I can't. That'll have to be deleted because I can't say something like that. You know, it's like totally slamming their company, but it's true. But it's almost like a, you know, I'm probably playing a part, destroying their business. And what part are you playing? What part are we playing within the fabric of our families and our marriages and our marriages to be? Remember what Jesus said about Paul before his ministry even began. Listen to this in Acts 9, verse 15 through 16. But he said, but the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Yes, I'm all for that. That sounds awesome. "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." See, we're all about the first part. You mean Gentiles? Wow, that's a cool people group. You mean before kings? That's awesome. Before the people of Israel? That's pretty phenomenal. Sign me up, Jesus. But the second part we're not so sure of. "For I will show him," okay, you're thinking at this point in time, if you hear this, this is pretty exciting, right? How many? I'm liking the word many, right? I'm liking things, right? I'm liking he must, okay, it's that. Suffer. No, not liking that so much. "For my name's sake. I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Read the book of Acts, and you start to get an idea of Paul's ministry. Listen to this old hymn from Fanny Crosby. The title's "To the Work." "To the work, to the work, to the work. We are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With His balm of His counsel, our strength to renew. Let's do it with our might, what our hands find to do." Man, that sounds passionate. That sounds absolutely wonderful. That sounds okay. I want to go for that. Until there's a little bit of pain. Who likes pain? Thank you for not raising your hand. No one does. Just one brief picture from Paul in Acts chapter 14, verse 19 through 20. "Then the Jews of Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead." Now, some scholars believe this is when he got this vision, okay? Of the whole third heaven and all this. So that literally that he was dead and he was brought back to life. "But however, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city." He went back. Now who's going to go back after a beatdown? I mean, I'm not going to ask you that question. Have you ever had, not a physical beatdown, okay, but a beatdown, and let's say just monopoly. I mean, total devastation. I mean, all you had was like $100 and one of those little bitty greenhouses. Okay, that's it. Everybody else just stomped everything else up. Did you really want to go get some more Monopoly? You ever played Risk? Okay, yeah, that's actually more fun. Margaret's beat me every time, by the way. Did you want to play again after you got a beat down and whatever it is? No. Paul says, "I want to," and just get this mental image of, okay, they thought he was dead. In other words, let's use our imagination here just a little bit. It wasn't just kind of like getting kicked in a flag football game. I mean, the dude was messed up. He was probably covered in blood. He used to say that his nose might have not have been broken. Okay, these are big rocks. These are big rocks. And he gets back up in the bloody mess, and he says, he goes back to the city. And then from there it says, well, the next day they departed. He stayed around. Barnabas to Derbe. Okay, yeah, are you starting to see this? He says, "We salute you." It's a picture of humility. It's a picture of a man who's just infused, who's overflowing with the Holy Spirit, who has such a clear picture of the end game of things. The end game of things. Verse 10. Then he goes on to say, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but man, we're dishonored." Paul says, we're weak, you're strong, you're distinguished, we're dishonored. Now Paul's being a little sarcastic here, but don't look over the question for us today. Are we willing to be weak and dishonored? A choice. Who likes to be weak? Does anybody in this room like to be dishonored? Disrespected? Who would choose that? No, we wouldn't choose that at all, would we? Only the humble will. I love Philippians chapter 4, 11 to 13. Now, I speak in regard for need. Listen to what he says. Not that I speak in regard for need, for I learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I've learned both to be full and hungry, both to suffer and abound in need. And, you know, we love this last verse. Okay, this is the little keychain verse. This is the little verse, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we totally forget everything before that. Things you learned. See, guys, until we get to a place we die, those who are dying salute you, we'll always be hung up on being strong and being distinguished. You know, as I was looking at this, I mean, it's pretty, if you start really looking at it, and start really weighing this thing, and start really digging into what Paul's saying and what the Lord's saying through him, I want to ask you a question. If you've been given the gift of teaching, you feel like you're called to teach, what if, okay, see, in America, it's a different gig. It's a different gig. But in India and China, okay, there's a cost to teach the Bible. See, in America, I think a lot of times it's more about, well, I want to get up and blow people away with what I know instead of who I know. There's people in China who are in prison because they decided to teach this book. Okay. There's a cost. Now, we may very well be there one day. There's no one showing up and talking about what a wonderful teacher they are in China, in India, places in Africa. We who die, salute you. Being in a place of weakness opens the door. Okay, here's the whole deal. To get closer to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10. At least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations. A thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. At least I'd be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and in reproaches and in needs and in persecutions and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, how many times have we read that? If you've read through the Bible, you've probably read it quite a few times. And it sounds super spiritual and it sounds really cool. For Paul, it was more than just really spiritual and really cool. It was the very fabric of his heart beating. Alright? Did you realize how close he is with the Lord right there? Who wants to be close to the Lord? Please raise your hand. Okay? Please raise your hands. You know, I found, you know, when Jesus is not a taskmaster. He's not a taskmaster. He says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Did Paul not find rest there? Now understand something. Some of us are really wigging out when we're looking at this. Our cross is not necessarily Paul's cross. Okay? Your cross is not necessarily my cross, and my cross is not necessarily your cross. My cross right now is Calvary Chapel Longview. My cross right now is going to work at Henderson Manufacturing. My cross right now is to be the dad and husband I need to be to my wife. My cross right now is a 2-year-old son. My cross right now is my wife is expecting a baby, and he's going to be here. That's my cross. See, that's not your cross. But here's the thing. God's called me to honor him in that. My cross right now, that's my cross. The question I want to get across, and I pray that, what is your cross? What is God calling you to do? And what are you saying? No, I don't think so. When we say that, you know what we're saying? We're saying, Lord, I'm too good to go through your process for me. That's what we're saying. You know what it took for me to really get that? Without getting too specific. It took a big thorn in my flesh to really get that in the form of a person. Because, you know what, as I was going through that and it was painful and it was frustrating and it was all these things, I come to the realization, okay, the problem's not the circumstance. Because the circumstance, really, if you look at it, was minute. The problem is I thought I was too good for the circumstance. God said, this is your cross. You want to go deeper with me? Then deny yourself, pick it up, and let's go. And I found the only time that it's discomforting is when I become stiff-necked and say, no, thank you. But when I finally just get to the place, okay, Lord, this is your deal, and whatever you have, I find that He comes in such a unique and wonderful and intimate way. And I pray that's what we're getting here. Pray we're not getting scared or feeling convicted because we think we're not this or we think we're not that, but we would just get an idea. We just get an idea. But the Lord's calling us to deeper intimacy, and in the process of calling us to deeper intimacy, you know what? His kingdom's getting expanded and He's being exalted. So what is your cross today? My encouragement to you and my encouragement to myself is humble myself and pick it up and let's go. Look at verses 11 to 13. See, Paul's willing to do without so others can have. Look at 11 and 12. To this present hour, we both hunger, thirst, we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. 11a, choosing to do without, eating and drinking. Sometimes there was no choice in the matter, okay? There was no choice in it. Other times, he chose to do without. Question, and this is it. Listen to this. When is the last time we really fasted and prayed? Because, man, Lord, what I'm desiring. Not to try to get something from the Lord. Not to try to get things our way. But we fasted and we prayed and we were broken and we were in intercession. When's the last time we fasted and prayed over the condition of this country? When's the last time? When's the last time we fasted and prayed for revival to take place within the body of Christ? Because that's where revival starts to begin with. It doesn't start out there. It starts within the fabric of the body of Christ. And then it proceeds to go out there. There was funny, and this is not funny, by the way, but in Germany, there would literally be people showing up to church on Sundays, okay, and this one church, there was a train track outside. Okay? The train would come rolling by when they were having their service and they knew who was on the train. And I don't have to go into that, do I? And what they would do is they would sing louder to try to drown out the train. See, revival, it takes place within the body of Christ to impact what's going out there. Fasting and praying. Fasting and praying for the community of Longview, Texas and the body of Christ. Not just here, okay? The body of Christ in Longview, Texas. Fasting and praying for the gift of repentance within the fabrics of our own hearts. Lord, I'm tired of being lukewarm on this thing. Lord, I'm tired of being stiff-necked. Lord, I want to get closer to you, Lord. Lord, there's things in my heart that I know you want to change, and I know I want you. Lord, when's the last time? It's so easy, is it not? Is it not so easy to just coast in this thing? And show up, and even if you read through the Bible, and I encourage you to read through the Bible year after year after year, and that's all it becomes. The relationship becomes nothing more than just a Bible study. to this present hour, meaning it has never been the world's buffet since Damascus Road for Paul. Notice what Paul is focusing on in his ministry, doing without in humiliation. These would be two things that the Corinthians and their pride would avoid at all costs. Now, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? How many times have we ate and we're not even hungry? I mean, and it was good. Okay, you just had a good meal and maybe showed up somewhere else. I'm probably never going to turn down chips and salsa. I'm probably not. Okay? I mean, I can kill that. We're talking 50-gallon drum of salsa. Okay? A truckload of chips, and I'll just eat that all day long. And let's be a people that fast, and let's be a people that pray. Just because, man, we want more of the Lord. And I found that when I fast and when I pray, the reality of the end game becomes more of a reality. 11b, choosing humiliation. Okay, choosing to be humiliated. Who would choose to be humiliated? Who would do that? This present hour, we both hunger and thirst. And listen, he always says, I choose to be poorly clothed. And a lot of times, sharing the gospel meant that he was going to get a beat down, did it not? Read the book of Acts. And not only that, man, he was homeless. He didn't have a home. You realize he gave up the nice clothes? He gave up the nice clothes on Damascus Road? Okay? You realize that instead of beating people, okay, he's now going to be in the lot that's going to get the beat down? And not only that, think about this. I mean, what did Paul spend all of his life doing after he met the Lord Jesus Christ? He planted churches everywhere. He worked with his hands. Listen to what David Guzik said. This is really cool. Today the church is heavy with the same attitude of the Corinthian Christians. They were concerned with the worldly image of success and power and how many of them despised Paul and the other apostles because they did not display that image. Today there's no shortage of ministers who want to be displayed, who want to display the image of worldly success and power. Is there not? Okay, newsflash. If someone's constantly asking you for money, don't give it to them. Okay, especially if they're wearing a $1,000 suit, $5,000 watch, rings. I mean, come on. Let's don't do that. And encourage other people not to do that as well. And no shortage of Christians who will value that in their ministry. I can remember early on getting saved, and I can remember that this point in time, okay, this is in the mid-90s, and I heard this pastor talking, and he's like, well, here's the thing. I'm kind of like the president of the company, and then there's like the vice president, and then there's the executives, and then there's this. You know, to portray the image we need to portray to this body, we need to drive some nice cars. Does that sound right? No, I thank you that none of you went like, yeah. Okay, I mean, thank you. Well, choosing humiliation, choosing to do what without. And once again, I want to state this. Okay, because some of you guys are already thinking, you know, you're already feeling guilty because God's blessed you. Okay, stop that. This was Paul's cross. What's your cross? I want you to get that. Verse 12. Choosing to keep going the right way. Not choosing to put up with stuff. There's a big difference. But choosing to keep going in the right way. And the right way is the way to honor the Lord. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. Being reviled. Reviled means to abusive speech. Paul says, you know what? When you abuse me with your speech, I'm going to bless you. Has anybody just ever been really rude to you? Did we bless them or did we punch them in the face? You know. Being persecuted. Paul says we endure, we keep going. We keep going. There's not a quit in this thing. We keep going. Being defamed means slander. Paul says, we entreat. Entreat means that we will reach out in kindness to one who spoke against them. Being would mean this was a continual thing for Paul. Read the book of Acts and see if it was not continual. To the Greeks, all these things would be offensive to embrace. Working was for slaves and backing down was for whips. Okay? Is backing down still not for whips? Listen to how he sums up his ministry. We've been made the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. This is what he's saying. The Lord can do whatever he wants to with me for you. Some ancient Greeks had the custom in which this is what they would do with what they considered someone who was a worthless person. They would cast them in the sea during a time of plague, and they thought this would appease, this would stop this thing, okay? What they called these people, that they threw in there was scraplings, okay? Scraps. You hear what Paul's saying here? What Paul's saying, guys, I will be despised. I will be despised in the sacrifice on your behalf. Paul's life was defined by humility. He was a true bondslave for Christ. What motivates a man to choose that path? It's not religious. It's not about a position. It's not even about being something. It's a deep, intimate relationship with a real God, and knowing without a shadow of a doubt, this is what He's called me to do, and knowing without a shadow of a doubt, at the end game, I'm going to stand before Him. Okay? Once again, I want to say this. This is Paul's cross. This is Paul's cross. But I pray, what is your cross? And what is it within this room that we're choosing that, you know what, Lord, I don't think so. What we're missing out on is a deeper experience with Christ. Do we want a Bible study, or do we want a deeper experience with Christ? Do we want to see revival within our generation, or do we just want to see religion? I want to see revival. Okay, I'm not talking flakiness. I'm talking people who are just excited about the Lord Jesus Christ and looking for His return. And sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Not counting the cost. Just going for it. I want to see that in my lifetime. And I sure want to see it within the ministry the Lord has allowed me to be a part of. But you know what it takes? It takes getting the eye out of the way. Okay? Andrew Murray said this. Men sometimes speak as if humility and meekness would rob us of what is noble and bold and manlike. Oh, that all would believe that this is nobility of the kingdom of heaven. That this is the royal spirit that the King of heaven displayed. That this godlike, to humble oneself, to become a servant to all, this is the path to the gladness and the glory of Christ's presence ever in us, His power ever resting on us. How did the Lord Jesus Christ go about His business? Yes, Lord. Man, He didn't just give us the Holy Spirit to make us, well, act goofy. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be more like Christ. New spiritual DNA. One thing to take home this morning. And I pray it's going to be a pressure relief valve. Because what we heard is very heavy. I understand that it was heavy for me. We may be a little freaked out, a little overwhelmed, or be asking ourselves, is it worth it? Remember this, we choose to pick up the cross the Lord has asked us to pick up. Our cross, okay? Not my cross. Not your mom and dad's cross. Not the expectation of others' cross, but the cross Jesus has for us. We choose a closer relationship with God. We choose intimacy like we've never had with the Lord. We choose closeness with the Lord. We choose the Lord and turn our back on the world. Okay, this is the pressure relief valve. Not everybody in this room is going to be called to go to Africa or anywhere else or do it. Some of us in this room, our cross is not going to be nothing more than after we graduate, you know what? We're going to be a Christian at our workplace. We're going to be the mom and dads we need to be. We're going to be what we need to be in our community. That's our cross. Nothing more, no less. For some of these folks in this room, God's called you to full-time ministry. But everybody's called to full-time ministry, right? But some of these folks in this room may be pastors, may be worship leaders. Okay? First thing you need to do is humble oneself. Okay? Humble oneself. What's God calling you to do? Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 21. Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I've often told you, now I tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, and whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. This is the part I pray we just grab a hold of. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he's even able to subdue all things to himself. We're going to celebrate communion. And what we're celebrating is the fact that, you know what, we've been given new life through a body that was broken and blood that was shed. We've been given eternal life. And we ought to be so forever thankful. Man, Paul grabbed a hold of it and he just ran with it. And I pray that that's what we would do. For whatever it is God's calling us to. And see, the whole source of the thing is just spending time with the Lord. Just spending time with the Lord. Don't let others' expectations be the main influence in your life. Don't even let your own expectations be the main influence in your life. Let the Lord Jesus Christ speak truth into all of our lives. Let's go in that direction. Stephen's going to come up to play. We're going to wait and take communion as a family. And man, use this time wisely. 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 And man,